I want to do just a quick recap. First things first, it's about the deity of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I think one of the things that we need to realize why this is so important is because God made man in his image. Amen. Now man is trying to make God in their image. And we need to know just exactly who Jesus Christ is, and that he is the God-man, and that he is someone that there has never been anyone else like him before or since. Jesus Christ, we read about in John 1:1, that he was in the beginning with God, so there couldn't have been anybody before him. Amen. And he is the God-man, and we looked at several of those things. We talked about the fact that he was the Word of God, the embodiment of the Word of God. We talked about the fact that he's the central focus of the Bible. We talked about the fact that he's the creator. We talked about the fact that he's life. And we're going to begin to expound upon the fact that Jesus is light. In John chapter 1 and verse 4. John chapter 1 and verse 4. Let's have a quick word of prayer before we get started here. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for being able to continue this line of thought. And we pray, Father, that as we look at the Word of God tonight, that you would help us to understand all that is behind what God means when he says Jesus is the light. We thank and praise you for that, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. Okay, Jesus is the light. Now, you're going to see a slide up there that has like 2 points on it or three. I've got about 6 points here in my notes. So it's going to be a little bit more than what's up there. Light here is not natural light, but supernatural light. Look at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, that's not like light when you come into your house at night and you throw the light switch and the light comes on. Now, that's not the kind of light he's talking about, although God can be that kind of light. We know that God can create that light. When he was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, Jesus shone with a bright light. God can create that kind of light. But when John is talking about Jesus being light, he's not talking about just physical light. He's talking about light that has a spiritual and a moral quality to it. Look at John chapter 3 and verse 19. And poor Mike's already saying, I don't see that on here. That's because it's not on there. Don't worry about it, Mike. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So light here has a spiritual connotation to it. Now, it's also, as we mentioned, physical light, but there's also a spiritual connotation to this light. John 1:9, if you drop down further in the passage, it says, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, we're skipping verses 5 through 8 because they're talking about John the Baptist. And so we're not going to go into that tonight because that's not our purpose. We're looking at Jesus Christ in this. But Jesus is the true light. Go back to Psalm 119 for just a moment. Psalm 119. And look at verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, I know that that's talking about the Word of God. But I also know that Jesus is the embodiment of the Word, and we talked about that when we were dealing with verse 1. Jesus is the true light. He is truth. He is truth. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What I like about this is it's the idea of this light is the kind of light that they would carry this light, and this light would shine at their feet, right in front of them. You know, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Sometimes we try to run way far ahead of God. Sometimes we try to run way far ahead of God. God wants us to take it one day at a time, one step at a time. He wants us to proceed only when he says to proceed. He shows us his light in his word each and every day. That's why it's so important to be in the Bible every day, because he gives us the light that we need for the day. That's why it says in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. You know, God doesn't want us getting ahead of him. He wants us walking steadily each day, day by day, just going where he wants us to go. Now, does that mean we can't plan? No. Does that mean that God can't show us where he wants us to go? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But it does mean that our steps are to be ordered by him. Now, notice 1 Timothy. If you'll go the other way now, from the Old Testament to the New, 1 Timothy. Chapter 6, let's begin at verse 15. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So we have the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is this inapproachable light. Again, it's talking about that moral quality here. When we come into the presence of God, sinners can't stand before him. They can't do it, because there's not a hint of impurity in God, and he does not allow sin in his presence. He is unapproachable light, and this is the same light that is Jesus Christ. One other verse I want to look at here in this regard, look at 1 John 1:5, and I'm starting to lose bookmarks here, which they're all in the wrong spot, so that's neither here nor there. 1 John Chapter 1, and verse 5, it said, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Amen. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And since Jesus is God, that same quality must be true of him as well. Amen. He is the God, the true light. He is the true light. He's also the prophesied light. You know, sometimes we don't look back enough in the Old Testament. Let's look at a couple verses. Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9. I'm still having trouble turning the pages because I still have that bandage on my thumb here from where I rammed that thorn, and I thought I was going to get it off, and then I took the bandage off today and noticed that part of the thorn was still in my thumb, so I had to dig it out. So I had to put the bandage back on. Isaiah 9:2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And you say, well, how do you know that's Jesus Christ? Well, it's very simple. If you look ahead at Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4. And verse 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. So Jesus is light, and he was prophesied as being that light, that spiritual light that would come into the world, that would light up every man. It would show them just how dark their soul really is. And that's part of the purpose of this light, was that man might know just how dark he really is. Go back to Isaiah again. I should have had you keep your finger there. Back to Isaiah 42 this time. And look at verse 6 of Isaiah 42. I, the Lord, hath called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Amen. Again, if you go to the New Testament, look at Luke 2:32. Here we have the story of Simeon, and he is talking to Jesus' earthly parents. You look at Luke 2 and verse 32. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. So Simeon was telling Mary and Joseph all about Jesus and about what he was going to be. Jesus was going to be this light that was come into the world, and he was going to light the people. He was going to be the light shining in the darkness. He was going to be the one that was going to lead them to God. He was going to show them how dark their own souls were. You know, until you admit that you're a sinner, you cannot come to Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. And that's part of the problem with the people today. People today don't want to admit they're sinners. People today have that age-old problem that the Pharisees had. They think they're pretty good. They think they're doing all right. How many times have you tried to talk to someone about the Lord and they will tell you, well, I think when I get to heaven, they're going to weigh my good works in my bad, and I think my good works are going to tilt just a little bit heavier than my bad, and I'm going to make it into heaven. They just have no idea how much their works weigh, because they don't realize that unless you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you don't have any good works. You don't have any good works. All your righteousness is as filthy rags. All your righteousness is as filthy rags. It's not until Jesus Christ comes into our life and he's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. We don't have any good works in and of ourself. Now, the other thing that we see about Jesus and this idea of light that John tells us about, and we're going to jump ahead to John chapter 8 for just a moment. John 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. He shall not walk in darkness. I am the light of the world. Only Jesus can dispel the dark. There is no one else besides Jesus Christ that can deliver you from the darkness that is within you. There's no one else who can deliver our society from the darkness that is in it, aside from Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, you can have all the programs, the social programs, the economic programs, all the judicial programs you want, and apart from Jesus Christ, our society will not improve. It will not improve. It has to be Jesus Christ. One other verse we're going to look at. Look at verse 5 here of John 1. Oop, going the wrong way. Jumped too far. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. People don't realize what they have in Jesus. They think they've got a good moral teacher. They think they've got a person that showed us how to love. They think they've got a person who is very kind, a person who is very gracious. But if they don't receive him as the Son of God, it's all for naught. It's all for naught. There are so many churches out there today that are preaching one aspect of who Jesus is. But if you don't preach everything that Jesus is, and by that I mean Jesus, the Son of God, who took away the sins of the world, then that other teaching doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean a thing. Okay, so let's go on to the next item here in verse 11. See how much time I got? Okay. Jesus is the one and only Savior. Notice verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, speaking of the Jews. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus is the one and only Savior. He's the one and only Savior. John 3:16, I'm sure you could spout that out 100 times even in your sleep. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's only one person mentioned there that you need to believe in, the Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, now, naturally, if you believe in the Son, you also believe in the Father. I guess that's an understood there. Amen. But you can't believe in one without believing in the other. Amen. But Jesus is the one who is the author of salvation. Acts 4:12 is another verse that we need to look at when we're talking about this. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only one. There is only one Savior. And so many times, you know, we see these debates raging in the newspapers of, oh, those Christians are so narrow. They won't allow people who are worshipers of Mohammed to be saved. They won't allow people who are worshipers of Buddha to be saved. They won't allow people who are worshipers of what they consider cults to be saved. Why is that? Because the Bible says there's no other name given under heaven whereby ye must be saved. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. And if by believing that people think we're narrow-minded, well, then we need to be narrow-minded because that's what the Bible says. And we can't say anything else just to appease other people. We can't do anything else. So I was reading an interesting article the other day. And it talked about a man who went into a New Zealand mosque and killed like 50 people. And it was all over the news. But you know, within that same few days of period there were Muslims over in Kenya which killed a great number of Christians, and it was never mentioned. You never saw it mentioned. You see, it's okay for the Muslims to kill the Christians, but if a Christian or someone who's a Christian, they believe anybody who's a white person is a Christian for some reason. I haven't figured that out yet. But they said, not only that, they said this guy was a right-wing fundamentalist who killed these Muslims. Well, then I was reading about all the organizations he'd belonged to, and I'm telling you, I don't know of any fundamentalist that would belong to them, especially not a right-wing fundamentalist, because they were all left-wing organizations that he belonged to. You just can't listen to what people say when they try to explain to you, you know, what's going on in our world, because they have a viewpoint that they want to promote, and that viewpoint is going to be anti-Christian.
That's right.
It's going to be anti-Christian. And I think, I'm convinced that most of them don't even know why they're doing it. I'm convinced they don't even know why they're doing it. Satan's got such a hold on them, they don't understand. But it is only Jesus Christ who saves. Only Jesus Christ. One last verse here in this, and then we're going to move on. Titus 2. Titus 2 and verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the great God and he's our Savior. And we're looking forward for his appearing.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to stop there tonight. I don't want to take the time to finish up that. We already talked about the fact that Jesus is the God-man on Sunday night, so we don't need to cover that point again. Just let me read you my conclusion. I could go all day about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, but it is not nearly as important that you know about him as it is that you know him.
Amen.
Are you going to heaven? When I asked the question, did you say, I hope so, or I think so? You can know so. 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God.